Hey, Troy and Kelly here, and we are the hosts of Beyond the Blinds podcast, where you'll get all your celebrity gossip needs.
We'll take you beyond the celebrity blinds and dive deeper into the dark side of Hollywood.
This podcast is full of scandal, intrigue, and gossip surrounding your favorite celebrities.
Listen now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't be rotted.
Hey, it's Herbert, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Welcome back to the show. How are you? I know I'm dressed like, to be honest, I don't know what I'm dressed like. I've been feeling out of it all day. So I don't know if this is what happens when you have a headache and then you're just tired. I think I'm still dealing with jet lag. Got back from Italy on last Thursday, like 5. Had some Panda Express. Maybe that was it. Obviously, Panda Express is not good for you. Well, then don't fucking make it so tasty. Sorry for cursing. But you know what? I'm actually not sorry. I'm not sorry for cursing, because when I talk about things that I'm passionate about, an F-bomb comes out. Just the same way that if a kid curses, maybe they were fired up. There's a TikTok trend where the parents will let the kids curse in the mirror. They'll leave the room and they'll go, okay, you can curse for 10 seconds. And most of the kids are like, fucking cunt, fucking cocksucker, motherfucker. And then every now and then there's some sweet little chariot that's just like, poo poo pants, fart burger, you know. But, you know, I think most kids, they don't, you know, they're not learning those words from YouTube. They're not watching porn, you know, unless you're showing it to them. So I think the kids, you know, they soak up, they're sponges. They get the language from the parents. My white rapper brother-in-law, Dirte, says quite a bit of curse words in his rap songs. My nephew, I don't want to say he said the N-word when he was 4, but he got close to something that he shouldn't say. We'll leave it at that. Tomato, tomato, Ray Romano. But yeah, feeling a little off. But I this shirt is 7 strong. My buddies make all these shirts that are comfy as shit, and they fit me okay. But I look like, I don't know if I look like I have beachfront property. I look like a guy that wants to own something near the beach. Maybe has friends. I bought this for a trip, I think, to go on somebody's boat that I wanted to impress. And then I can hear some of you go, was the trip on the Mayflower? Well, ha ha ha. Fuck yeah, because of the leaves, right? Maybe I am ready for Thanksgiving. Maybe it's Maybelline. But I think that, you know, Christmas is 15 Fridays away, by the way. If you haven't seen the news, there's been a lot going on. Let's keep things light. Christmas is 15 Fridays away. Who's fired up about that? Say it with me. The Jews! No, we are, we're excited. We're excited because, you know, the mall, it's for you guys. You know, I go to the mall. I love to get me some Hanukkah presents. I love to just, you know, grab an Orange Julius and watch a mom lay into a child in front of everybody. Oh, man. You want to talk about the gift that keeps on giving? It's watching Pam and Karen yell at Tyson for, say it with me, spending all her money. Or just throwing a tantrum because he can't get that hot new labubu. And that's what everybody wants. It was Tickle Me Elmo. It was Fuck My Butt. And, T-Rex or what? I haven't had a toy in a while. But it's always something tiny and furry, a little gremlin gizmo. You know, I got Who's It's and What's It's galore. And people love these labubus. My wife got a labubu. What? Why? But they're adorable. You attach it to your backpack. Or, I don't know, your rear view mirror, and people go, whoa, you got a labubu, huh? And there's no like secret society. It's just they see each other from across the way and they're like, where'd you get your labubu? And they're like, online. Where'd you get yours? Online. There's actually a labubu store. Where? They're doing a pop-up labubu store at the Grove. Oh, man. Thanks for the heads up. I hope my family doesn't think I'm crazy for buying 15 of them. I mean, that's part of what being a person is, right? Is to consume. That's all we're doing. I mean, dude, I'm on TikTok more than I ever thought it would be. And it sucks. It's like four videos of like dads coming home early to surprise their kids. You know, the dad at the high school graduation, the kid gets his diploma. He doesn't think dad's showing up. I know dad's showing up. Dad knows he's showing up. The video's titled, Dad Shows Up. Kid gets a double take, then looks up and goes, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And the dad's like, you bet your fucking ass. And I just start crying, dude. I was raised by a single mom. I cry at everything. Forrest Gump, the end of Forrest Gump, when Jenny's like, he's your kid. And he's like, what? She's like, his name's Forrest, too. He's like, but that's my name. Is he me? Am I him? What the fuck's going on, Jenny? And I just lose it. So I'll watch 5 to 6 soldiers coming home early from Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Oops-a-Daisy-stan, and they are just, it's filled with love. It's a sweet, sweet 30 to 40 second video. And then the sixth video is like, you ever wonder what happened to the two girls from Two Girls, One Cup? What? I thought they were dead. They're not dead. They should be dead. But seriously, where are they? VH1 used to do, where are they now? Behind the music, you know, where it'd be like, Eddie Vedder would be like, you know, this one time in Wisconsin, the band and I, we were at IHOP, and we got some banana pancakes, and then there was ecstasy in one of the pancakes, and we ate them. Obviously, we started tripping our balls off, and we wandered into a forest where we met a magical elf who'd been separated from his family. We helped the elf rebuild his home out of pine cones, and he taught us how to make shoes out of the wind. Anyway, after 25 minutes, the ecstasy had wore off. We realized it wasn't an elf. It was a baby that had wandered into the woods, and we had found the baby, so we brought the baby back to the civilization, and a mom in a van driving by screaming at us was like, you found my baby, Mr. Vedder. And I was like, holy shit. I thought it was an elf this whole time. Anyway, his name was Jeremy. 2, 3. And then they start playing Jeremy's book, you know, and it's a cool rock and roll story to go along with a great iconic song. But that's what Christmas is. Christmas is stories and bullshit and escapes and distractions. You can always tell what shape the country's in by how many Hallmark Christmas movies come out. Last year there was like, man, I'm going to say upwards of 87 titles. There was like, there was that one, the girl from Party of Five did like 15 of them. She did one on Netflix called like Fuck Me Frosty or something. That was like a real edgy one where Frosty, I think Frosty turned into like a hot gay guy, but she was so lonely she fucked. This is not the plot, but it sounds like it is. I think it is actually. And that's because Netflix knows you're going to watch, especially during the holidays. A new title pops up that's a rom-com and it has Lacey Chalazet, fuck, it's one of those. It's all those mashed together, and that's the girl from Party of Five. And Frosty is a snowman, right? The classic tale, that's what we've come to know. Frosty is a snowman. That's it. Game, set, match. Oh, nay, says Netflix. They're like, what if some really, really depressed slut. And I use that term lightly. I don't shame. Whether you're guy, gal, girl, boy, man, woman, person, woman, man, camera, TV. I don't care what you do. As long as you're not, you know, being weird and creepy about it, do whatever you want. So if you want to fuck a snowman, fuck a snowman. I'm running for office on that platform. But she did. And I think she put like the nose in the right spot. Or she put like two pieces of coal where his snow crotch was. And she was like, oh, if only these were fucking real balls. And he was just like, whoa. You know, whoa. And then the snow melted and he was like, oh, whoa. Hey, my name's Gavin. Can I eat your pussy? And she was like, It's 10 a.m. Oh, my God. Again, I have not seen the movie, but based on the trailer, which was enough, hey, that's Christmas. That's Christmas. And the Jews, we don't have movies like that. You know, Hallmark will do a few Hebrew films. You know, some woman opens a menorah store in like her old hometown. It's like Sweet Home Alabama meets Schindler's List. And you're like, But Hallmark, there's no shortage. And you'll watch all of them. Because it's, you know, this summer, this winter, Jacob was 9 years old and his mom had just died. And he loved Christmas more than anything until one day he walked in on his dad, sucking off the mall Santa, and he questioned everything. Mario Lopez, Candace Cameron Bure, and NBA on TNT analyst Shaquille O'Neal in, you know, Big Gay Christmas. Italy was fun, though. Italy was a time. Italy was fantasy camp, dude. I came back to the States. I don't want to say and immediately was filled with withdrawal because landed the next morning, went to Indianapolis, 5 sold-out shows in Indiana at Helium Comedy Club. First time there, shout-out to the club. Shout-out to the staff. Shout-out to all the people that came to the shows. They were incredible. Was it hot? Yeah. Outside, hotter inside. You know, you think you sell out 5 shows, you think the AC would work, but shit happens, and you just got to roll with the punches. And they tried rectify the sitch as much as possible. But people stayed. They had a good time. We all sweat together. But looking out and seeing a lot of people just going is, you know, not fun and mildly distracting. But the shows were awesome. Got to go to the Colts game on Sunday. Shout out to my boy Tony Hinchcliffe. He looped me with Pat McAfee. The Pat McAfee. Big fan. Pat McAfee show. College game day. Indianapolis Colts. Player, Pro Bowler, has played in Super Bowls, media mogul, has created an empire and a brand that is pretty impressive. Him and the crew, Connor, Ty, Evan, Matt, Derek, DB, getting to go to the Thunderdome and visit Pat McAfee and friends and do the show on Monday was a bucket list, truly bucket list.
You were a great fit in the suite yesterday, dude. Thanks for coming through.
The vibes were so high. People were so excited. I hadn't been, you know, you just get, it's infectious. Like when people are going that crazy.
Yeah.
And you see the Peyton Manning statue out front. You see the, the McAfee statue. They're starting to build it, right?
Yeah. No,
they're not. But they will. But they will. We got to believe, as radio said, you know. And he said something. I haven't seen it. But there was a gal at our show here in Indy in June. We did the Marat Theater. And this gal comes up to the front. I'm taking pictures post-show. And she goes, my mom thinks you're really Dr. Phil. And so I was like, I gotta go talk to this fucking psycho. So I walk up and I go, how you doing, sweetheart? And she goes, I've been watching you for the last 40 years. I love you. I go, I've been watching you too on your ring cam. I go, I'm surprised you got that tampon out. Mazel tov. And she was like, what? I go, we'll be right back. And I was at camp. They let me call the Chiefs-Hawks like preseason game. I don't think it'll happen again. I pitched a lot of catchphrases like Jake Bobo had 2 touchdowns. And on the second one, I go, somebody check my watch. It's touchdown time. And Steve Rabel was like, oh, can you just stop talking? There's guys out there that definitely like went on the Subway diet and like probably pre-Fogle, you know? And so like, I'm sure when that happened, there were like guys at barbecues being like, you know, David, why don't you tell Frank you lost weight? It's not important. just hard, discipline and hard work. He's like, no, he's eating Subway all day. And they're like, oh, you're a Fogle guy? He's like, oh, I did it before. Like, you don't want to be labeled a Fogle guy. I went to the bowl in MetLife where the Hawks, you know, took care of Denver, where nobody picked us, you know. And after that snap went over Peyton's head, and he was like, Papa Jones, you know. And then, shout out to Peyton. Peyton's a great guy, by the way.
Was that Peyton there?
That was Peyton, yeah. I don't do a Peyton Manning, but I do a Jason Statham. Here's Jason Statham finding out that he got bumped from the Pat McAfee show. Ready? Hey. And so I'm sitting there. I saw Mrs. Doubtfire when it came out, which was advertised as a like Robin Williams comedy. Like, hello, it's a run by Fruits. And you're like, dude, Williams at its best. Opening scene, Sally Field's like, get the fuck out of my house.
You had a llama on my dining room table, you son of a bitch.
Had to battle through that.
Yep. Bro, my had folks, to battle through that. My folks had gotten divorced maybe a month prior. I'm sitting there. That's like taking somebody to see Black Hawk Down when they just got back from Iraq. I mean, I'm like, dude, I just saw the same fight a week ago. So I'm triggered. I'm crying. My buddy's like, are you crying? I'm like, it's so funny. And but shout out to that movie. When he shanked the first one, I mean, it was the wind got taken out. It was like everyone found out they were on the Epstein list at the same time. It was like, you know what I'm saying? Everyone collectively was like, no, I thought I wasn't there, you know?
It's out on YouTube, I think, the episode as well. I posted some clips on my Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy, but it was the most fun. And the game was even more. I mean, the game is how Tony Lute does, and then he FaceTimed me. He was like, do you want to go to the game? And I was like, yeah. So went down to his field suite right in the end zone. Tyrese Halliburton, Indiana Pacers superstar and NBA, you know, rock star was there. You know, Pat's fam, the whole McAfee show crew, awesome. And the game was incredible. Colts have not been 2-0, I think, in like 10 years. And they came from behind, missed a 60-yarder, and then there was a 15-yard penalty. I'm sure you've seen the highlights. And then they hit a 42-yarder and won the game at the buzzer. And we went nuts. I had like four Jack and Cokes and an edible. And then walked through the crowd to my show. Not before, by the way, the mascot, Blue, who broke character to tell me he was a fan, which was cool. Shout out to that guy. Awesome. He created the character. Apparently there was a contest to create a mascot for the Colts. They were looking for a new character. And this guy is a very creative guy. I want to say maybe graphic designer as well. And he sketched and created the mascot that is now Blue for the Indianapolis Colts. And they've been rocking with it for, I think, 10-plus years. And it's massive. And it's got, like, you know, kazoos for nostrils and, you know, little, you know, mascot belly. And the guy's just agile as shit. He hopped into the box. Colts scored. He hopped down with Jonathan Taylor, did the pelvic thrust dance like New Kids on the Block. And just a lot of fun. And the energy in the stadium, Lucas Oil Stadium, is an iconic venue for football. You know, Midwest people love their football. Texas loves their football. They also love their abortion rights. But they love sports, and they love the Colts. They love the Pacers. They love Caitlin Clark, Reggie Miller, Larry Bird. David Letterman's from Indiana. I just had a stroke. But getting to go to a different team stadium is something that's, if you're a sports fan, is always an extra treat.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, let's be honest. We've all turned to some pretty random people for advice. I've talked to my stepdad, my dog, Pickles. I've unloaded on my barber. I cut my own hair, so it's me. I've gotten deep with my Postmates driver. It's gotten very weird. I wasn't wearing pants. And once I had a full heart-to-heart with a guy restocking cereal at the grocery store, and he looked at me and he was putting the Frosted Flakes away, and he goes, how are you? And I go, I'm great. And he said, sir, put pants on. That's two no pants jokes. And anyway, I had a heart-to-heart with myself recently and said, I need something better. And when it comes to the bigger stuff like anxiety, relationships, or just feeling stuck in the day-to-day of life, maybe the guy, you know, that you've been talking to at the gas station is not the guy. He's trying to sell you rubbers for $20 a pop, and that's not right. And he's selling them out of his car. So, look, that's where BetterHelp comes in. They've been helping people find their right therapist match for over 10 years, and they've got over 30,000 therapists and 5 million people served worldwide. That's incredible. They've got a 4.9 rating from over 1.7 million reviews. And look, all you got to do is start filling out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp does the match for you. These are licensed, credentialed therapists who are trained to actually help you. And if it's not a fit, you can switch therapists at any time, no extra cost. It's all online, flexible, easy to work into your schedule. And it's the largest online therapy platform for a reason. So if you want to help yourself, get with it. BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Find the one that best suits you with BetterHelp. Our listeners right now, my ALN listeners, get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/aboutlastnight. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/aboutlastnight. Start investing in yourself and feeling better because you deserve it.
So the game was awesome. I walk over to my show. I'm riding high. The Colts win. Also, I'm walking through the crowd. People were stopping me for pictures, which was cool. You know, just that's happening a little bit more. And then the show was awesome. Maybe the best show of the weekend.
I'll be posting a best of on my YouTube as I do from all the weekends. So obviously subscribe to my YouTube, youtube.com/AdamRayComedy. There will be a new Dr. Phil Live dropping Thursday, live from Kansas City with Sal Vulcano, Chris Porter, Jim Jefferies, and Eric Stone Street. One of my favorite episodes we've done. I know they say that for most of them, but it truly is. Live from Kansas City. We shot that back in June and just now coming out. But, you know, we're backed up. We've got like 5 to 8 more fills. And then we're obviously doing our one last one at the Wiltern Theater here in Los Angeles on December 16th. Do you have tickets? You should get them. It's halfway sold out already. Maybe a little bit more than halfway. It's going to be a blast. I've secured 3 guests. And let me just tell you, it's going to be wild. It's December 16th. It's at the Wiltern Theater. It's the last Dr. Phil Live. Yeah, we might pull it out and do a few next year at the store. There's a few people that I might do some weird combo show with next fall. But as far as like really being done for a while, this is it. So tickets, AdamRayComedy.com. December 16th at the Wiltern. I know people that are flying in for the show. Cool, because I know it's the last one, potentially forever, which it might be. But also, yeah, we're going big. It's a week before the holidays in LA, and it's a Tuesday. There's a lot of people I've reached out to that have that open, and that's why we picked that date. So hope you can make that out. But again, shout out to Pat McAfee and the whole McAfee Show crew. Awesome, awesome time. And yeah, just what a great weekend of shows. But coming off Italy, I think that's why I'm a little out of it today, is I just finally like a little bit, you know, just a couple steps behind. Didn't get all the sleep last night. You know, got back late last night. Had to get up early today. It's my wife's birthday. Having some fam and homies over this weekend, and so got a lot to get in order for that. And, you know, some obviously stress comes with that because everything wants to be right. And fucking, I'm on my period. She's on her period. So everyone's on their period. You know, it's just so there's a lot going on. And the dogs, you know, Pickles and Bagel, when you're gone from your pups, I can't imagine what it's going to be like with kids. We keep talking about kids. I think we're going to. Oh, man. But I just keep feeling myself pushing back. Not pushing back from doing it. We're going to do it. But I'm just like, man, life is just going to get wild. You see like one shit kid at the airport and it just makes me go, oh, man. I'm already so tired all the time and just scrapping for like sleep, and I'm not a good napper. I can't sleep on planes. So yeah, but the dogs are enough for now, you know. But they, you know, when they look at you when you leave and when you come back, that's one thing. But if they could verbalize, you know, a buddy of mine was telling me his kid is now at the age where it's like, she's like, Dad, why you have to leave again? And he's just like, I gotta go. And she's like, oh, you just, do you have another family or something? Or do you just like to travel? And he's like, no, I don't actually like to travel. I picked a career and a job that is conducive for traveling. And I am trying to make money to support the family. Why are you asking me that you're two? Well, I'm aware, and I'm actually pretty furious that you don't want to be with me. So yeah, so there's that to worry about, that the kid's just gonna grow up too quick and call you out and call your bluff, you know, and be like, what the fuck, man? And I'm a sucker. If you tug at my heartstrings, you know, you pull one, you're gonna pull them all. They're all attached. You want to talk about no strings attached, like NSYNC. Remember that album? Dude, reunite already. JT, come on, man. What do you got to do? Call the boys. You know they're chilling. Fatone's in Florida. Kirkpatrick's in Nashville. J.C. Chazes is, dude, who knows? He could be on the moon right now. By the way, I heard this guy at the airport say to his buddy, I love me a good airport eavesdrop. And if you talk too loud at the airport, you want people to hear. Some people can't control the volume of their voice. Most people can't. This guy, so loud. So loud. Said to his bud, would you go to the moon if you had $50 million, would you go to the moon? But the only what was it? Oh, you, if you got, it was something about like if somebody had could fuck your wife though, but you could go to the moon and get $50 million. I think that's what it was. Something about a free trip and a lot of cash, but somebody gets like one night. Remember Indecent Proposal with Robert Redford, Woody Harrelson, and Demi Moore? By the way, RIP. Wow, that's wild that I just brought that up. RIP, Robert Redford, 89. That's a good run. I'm 43. I can't imagine being around for 46 more years. 43. 46. See? I don't know math right now. 89 is a good run. Bob Barker, I think, was 88? My grandpa was 70. My grandpa was 82. My grandma was 78, I think. Or maybe switch that around. Willy Wonka was like 50. But 89 is a good run. And Robert Redford gave us a lot, dude. The Natural and, you know. Wow, I can't remember. Indecent Proposal. There's another one. Knight Rider? No, that's David Hasselhoff. What did Redford do? Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? I think that's Redford. He also started Sundance, the film festival. The fuck did you do? Did you start a film festival? Something happened to this water. It does not taste good. I took it out of the fridge. Oh. Damn. It's like a fancy water from Creation. Lemon. It says infused, though. Do you mind grabbing me like a seltzer or like a water thing? Thanks, Ren. It tastes like there's suntan lotion in it. And I don't think a nice fancy water thing would put suntan lotion in their water, but God bless you. Yeah, big time. God bless you. Yeah, it tastes like piss, but coconut water you can never mess with. Yeah, see, a clear, distinct, no suntan lotion taste. My sister once put palm olive, which is soap. I don't know if it's discontinued or they still sell it, but she put it in my iced tea when I was a kid. And then I made fun of her for being adopted for 3 years. So, you know, I don't know if that's when I knew I was going to be a comedian, but the fact that I was just like, you fuck with me, I'm fucking with you right back. It's, you know, a form of dealing with a heckler, I guess. But that's just typical sibling rivalry too. You know, she would, you know, throw my Ninja Turtle in the toilet. I'd fart in a cup or make her smell it. She'd pass out. I'd lock her in the garage. She'd wake up, lock me in the garage. She'd escape. I'd escape, you know, she'd throw another turtle in the toilet, right? I'd another fart cup. She'd pass out, wake up. She'd make fun of me for having, you know, being a fat kid and having bigger tits than our mom. Again, she was adopted, so I'd be like, you mean my mom, right? And those are the types of fights that you have with your brother, your sister. But yeah, I don't know. I wasn't a prankster as a kid. I guess I did like the hand buzzer to my teacher at April Fool's. Put the whoopee cushion on his seat. RIP, Mr. Berger, fourth grade. Was not pumped about it. All the kids in class knew I was doing it. Mr. Berger was out in the faculty room, I think getting, you know, a Pop-Tart or, I don't know, a hand job. He was doing something we didn't know about. And the whole class watched. And I knew they were watching too. I think I got off on like, I got an audience. Put the whoopee cushion on the chair. And I put the ice cube with a fly in it in his coffee. Class resumes. He comes back in. Everyone's just kind of like looking over their shoulder, like facing forward, but like looking back. And you just hear, he sat on the whoopee cushion in the perfect spot to where it sounded like not just a fart, but it was like a fart and with like a queef aftertaste. So it was like, and everybody was like, ho, ho, ho. And he was like, Mr. Ray, immediately knew it was me. And I was like, huh? I went full Tim Allen. And then he was like, I know it was you. And I was like, my parents aren't together, man. Cut me some slack. You think I have time or finances to get a whoopee cushion? I can't even afford dinner. And then he's like, all right, maybe it wasn't you. And then he takes a sip of his coffee. Ice cube, giant plastic joke ice cube hits his mouth. Ah, fuck. takes it out, flying it. He's like, what the hell? Mr. Ray. And that one, I'm like, that one was me. I'll go to the hallway. Worth it. Standing ovation from the class. Even Dustin Brody and Todd Giese, who were the school bullies. There's another VH1's Where Are They Now? Dustin Brody and Todd Giese. I remember Dustin Brody at recess later that year shoved me down when it was raining. We were playing tackle football, which you weren't supposed to play tackle. We also played Smear the Queer, which, Jesus Christ, times have changed. I don't think they play that anymore. Then, you know, it wasn't Smear the Queer. It wasn't like, hey, find who the gay kid is and shove him down. No, it was the name of the game. Anybody could play. Teachers could play. They didn't, but they could. It was just the name of the game. I didn't even know what it meant. It was just like smear. Give somebody the ball and then you tackle them. It should have been called tackle the person with the ball. But for some reason, some homophobe titled it Smear the Queer. So that's what it was. And Dustin Brody, I remember, got tackled. I think maybe I tackled him and like was able to slide out of the way. And then he got up and just shoved me down, dude. And I slid into what looked like just a trough of diarrhea. And I get up and I'm covered in mud. Bell goes off, back to class. Oh man, I walk back into class just smothered in just poo and mud, and there might have been some jam on me. I had every condiment from the 50s. And people were like, oh, what happened? I was like, Dustin Brody pushed me down. People were like, dude, what? No way. You gonna fight him? What do you fucking think? You know, no, I'm sopping wet. I had to get sent to the nurse's office, you know, and they gave me emergency clothes. Do you know what emergency clothes are? They're leftover, lost and found, finders, keepers clothes. It looks like shit that they give like stage crew for a musical in middle school. Like, all right, everyone, you're gonna be working Cats the Musical. So everyone has a black turtleneck and purple sweatpants. Cool. Are these the clothes you give out to kids who get shoved down by Dustin Brody at recess? Because that's what I returned to class with. Purple sweatpants and a black turtleneck. It actually might have been purple turtleneck, black sweatpants, which is even worse. I looked like some slam poetry, like a professor, like I looked like a professor, like a blind professor at a speed dating conference. Like, I don't know what, I didn't look like I belonged, I'll tell you that much. And I got a lot of chuckles. Jill Warren, who had, Jill Warren, shout out, just had, you know, most kids had fucked up teeth in elementary school. But Jill Warren, and she had actually a beautiful smile, but when she smiled, her fangs just fucking hung out of her mouth. And they were big, and they were fangy, and they were teethy, and they were gummy. And she owned it. But I remember she laughed really hard. And that made me feel bad. And Dustin Brody saw me at the last recess. That was the second recess. That was lunch. Third recess. D. Brody sees me out there. You ready for more? You want? Oh, did you come back for seconds, bitch? No, I was actually just going to journal on the hill because I'm wearing a purple turtleneck. I'm going to sit this one out, Brody. Dustin Brody, Todd Giese. I remember so many names from the past. It's wild. Let me just go through right now and see how many names I can remember. Well, I reunited with a girl named Cammie Throwfall in Utah when I was doing Dr. Phil Live out there. That was elementary school. Let me just throw out some names for you. Jonathan Stetzer, Jennifer Powers, Christina Brown. This is deep cut elementary school. Christina has a brother named Gary Brown. We got Ben Jiggly. We got Anthony Ariema, Colin Sullivan. What else we got? We got Lindsay Libby. We got, again, Jill Warren. We got Tony Gorney. We got Valerie Owens. Man, Merritt Harburg Little. I went to elementary school with a kid named Merritt Harburg Little. Joel Helgevold. I think he was German, and he hit me in the face with a jump rope. I remember we were outside at recess jumping rope, and he swung it. He was supposed to be swinging it low, and everybody takes turns jumping over it, and he just raised it up a little bit too high, dude, and it took me out. And I remember crying. Crying at school is a big deal as a kid because you hold in those tears, man. Oh, fuck. If you cry, oh, you're so weak. and this was the second grade, Mrs. Batelli, shout out or RIP, and I remember coming back to class just fighting back tears, biting my lip, because I'm like, I can't cry in front of whoever I had a crush at that time. Wow. Emily Nelson. Wow, dude. These names are coming right back. You can't smoke weed and have a short-term memory. Emily Nelson had a big crush on her. Big crush. Don't know what happened to her. I think she's one of those kids that left, didn't go to middle school with us. So elementary school, you know, people go to different middle schools, and then some people move away. What a weird thing when you're a kid. All of a sudden, people are just gone, and you're like, you know, you don't see him over the summer. Maybe you see him at like a Hollywood Video or the bakery or, you know, some glory hole. You run into their dad and you're like, oh, you know, what are you going to go up to the dad and go, hey, how is Emily having a good summer? He's like, who the fuck are you? I'm like, I have a purple turtleneck. But I remember being very upset that she got transferred or went to a different school. Yeah, that was a bummer. There was a girl named Emily Robbins in middle school who was the first one to wear like all black. You know, that was wild. All black. And she, I think, had sex with a guy named Jesse Mose. That's an RIP. God damn. Man, lucky to be alive. I know way too many people that are dead. That is just a fact of the matter. Whew, bummer. Bummer. Elementary school, high school, middle school, college. Whew, and then in comedy, obviously, way too many. From self-inflicted stuff and just from the tragedies that life provides. But Jesse Mose, I don't know what happened to him, but he was one of the first dudes I knew that was like sexually active. And man, that was cool. And he wore a wife beater and he had kind of a mullet and he smoked cigarettes and he was in eighth grade. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I didn't know we needed to start thinking about that. I was still trying to figure out how to get a bra off and maybe get a hand down there. But now this guy's just like, nah, man, it's penetration time. It's, you know, it's vaginal sex city and you're the mayor. He didn't say that, but he walked around like a guy who just knew what he was doing. And you were like, fuck, do I need to wear a wife beater? Do I need to have... He had skinny shoulders, but big legs, and I do not know why I remember the specifics of his physical makeup, but Jesse Mose, what a name. Oh, you don't think that guy fucked? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't think Jesse Mose was fucking in middle school? But Emily Robbins, I think, was on the receiving end of that. And anyway, that's just a little blast from the past. But Italy was fun. Italy has a lot of... amazing restaurants. Shout out to Paul Feig. Paul Feig, you know, directed me in The Heat, Ghostbusters, Spy, Welcome to Flatch, The Fox Show with Jamie Presley. Of course, Paul did The School for Good and Evil on Netflix, Simple Favor 1 and 2, Last Christmas, Bridesmaids. Paul is a gangster. He's got Housemaid coming out with Sydney Sweeney and Amanda Siegfried. Paul shot, I think, Simple Favor 2 in Capri, and so he gave my wife and I just all these recs. Dinner and walks and lunches and places to sit in the square and just people watch, which I was posting a lot of content on Instagram of just people in the square, just videotaping people and being like, I was doing like voiceovers for their conversations. You know, I was pretty good about having the phone down and getting a lot of work done prior to the trip so that we didn't have to... You know, I didn't have to cock block the fun by posting. You know, I still had to post, you know, stuff and just stay active. But once I did that, I tried to remove myself. But we're sitting in the square and it was like a fun little thing and she didn't mind. And then she started taping me, taping people. And so then people were loving her BTS. But those are all on my Instagram. It was basically public conversations, I called them, where I'd zoom in on people talking in the square because it was just a really busy square that there was a lot of foot traffic. So I just, you know, kind of zoom in on people and just dub over what they were saying. And it was fun. But man, some of these restaurants, we had a spot called Aurora that had pictures of Michael Jordan out front, Beyonce, I mean, presidents, and who else? Leo DiCaprio. Unreal. The pizza was so thin crust is how they do it. And the cheese and the tomato and anything else that you put on that pizza, you don't feel bad. You actually feel better. I don't know what we're putting in our pizza out here. There's good pizza in America. But, I mean, come on. Not to knock Papa John, racist. Oh, I forgot. Did he say the N-word in a pizza meeting? Yeah. And then 2 days later, I had the balls to have Shaq giving out the new cheesy bread. He was like, come on, I got the biggest N-word. Giving out my new cheesy bread. That's not how it works, Papa. And then you cut dental insurance for all your employees. Google it. But no, I'm sure he's a great guy. Their pizza is where it's at. Their pizza is where it's at. Thin, delicious. The ingredients are fresh. You can taste it. I don't want to say I had a full pizza to myself, but I had 3 or 4 pieces on top of some extra goodies. And man, the gal who owns the restaurant, her name is Mia, because I saw her picture in all the pictures. And so I was like, that's got to be the owner or the owner's daughter who's just like, you know, shoves her way into the family biz. But no, the owner. I said, what's her name? They go, Mia. So I was like, I'm going to say congrats and thank you. This is amazing. So, but I don't know her. So we're getting ready to leave. And I go, Mia, I go, delicious. Thank you again so much, Mia. Or no, I just go, thanks again, Mia. So good. And I didn't realize that I said, thanks again, Mia. So she looked up and was like, oh, great. Yes. I'm so glad. Thank you. Like so caught off guard. Like, should I know you? And then we saw her walking through the square the next day. She was probably on her way. It was like midday, on her way to go prep the restaurant for the evening's festivities. And I go, Mia! And just doubled down. And she was like, quit following me! She didn't say that, but she had a scared look in her eye. We had a waiter one night. I think he shit his pants. This guy was walking around. My wife has an amazing scripty eye, you know, script supervisor, where you'll watch a TV show and say you're watching Friends and there's a shot of Jennifer Aniston on the couch and then it cuts to Joey and it cuts back to Jennifer Aniston and her cup is like turned differently. My wife notices that shit. It's crazy. So I can't get away with anything. But also with smells, she has it. So all of a sudden she's like, oh, do you smell poop? And I was like, what? So now I'm like, fuck, was that me? Am I at that age? Did I just shit my pants? Who just shit my pants? Come on. Was it me? Was it you? Hey, you did it. Come on. So now I'm freaking out. I'm like, God, I lost control. I'm Teddy Swimson over here. I lose control of my bowels in Italy. Quick shout out to Teddy Swims, by the way. Not only did hook up my brother-in-law and sister, who's a huge Teddy Swims fan, with tickets to the Seattle show, got him backstage, made her fucking night. That was my birthday present. I got him tickets. He got him backstage. I got him a car down there, made it a whole night. Teddy, oof. Teddy's a gangster. Amazing voice, by the way. An amazing performer. Go see him live. And so this guy's walking around. Once my wife pointed it out, I don't want to say I got real close and like took a whiff and a sniff, but once I wrapped my head around the idea that this kid has shit himself, there was no turning back. And the closer he got, the more I smelt it. And when he walked away, it was gone. Here he comes again. And here comes that familiar poop fragrance. Now, what do you do here? Do you citizens arrest? Do you speak up and go, excuse me, sir? Yeah. You all right? You know, or do you just go like, you? How do you let them know? Or do you just go, man, you know what's the worst is when you shit yourself in public. Like, how do you slyly bring it up so that he knows that you know? Without letting him know that you know, you know? But it didn't ruin the night, but we left shortly after. And it was such a nice time. The U.S. Open was on. My wife and I were playing Uno, which was great. We were playing Uno, and everyone's got their own Uno rules. Do you know that? It's like everyone's the same way you're a product of your environment. Some people grow up conservative and thinking that, you know, I mean, bro, I've got a family member right now that is so hardcore religious that she does not have a easy time accepting people of the homosexual nature. Now, that is new information to me and others. And it's a bummer. It's a bummer because we got some gays in the fam, and that's a bummer. And she's nervous about what to tell her kiddos. Oh, you're worried, huh? How about you do this? How about you do nothing? How about you don't tell them shit? How about you don't worry about downloading your fucked up thoughts onto their little hard drive? How about you let them be a kid? Kids aren't worried about fat, black, Jew, gay, Asian, straight, midget. Kids are worried about mac and cheese and skateboards and scooters and fingering something and darts and Tetris and Game Boys and, you know, snowball fights. Kids don't give a fuck. This is why the country gets to a wild stage, is because, again, people product your environment. Maybe you only watch one news network. Maybe you watch two. Maybe you just read too much internet, watch too many videos, and then you decide that this is how things are. And instead of letting the people that you're raising figure it out for themselves, you tell them how it should be. And then you just hope as a human that you grow up with your own way of doing things, and you hope that you're, wearing a different set of goggles to be able to see the world, as it should be, which is, we all bleed the same blood. We all poop from the same hole. Some of our holes are bigger. Have you ever seen my 6,000-pound life? Wow. But, but I'm like, wow, you think this kid really needs to know? She was like, what do I tell, is the thing I heard she said. What am I going to tell him about the mistakes that, said gay person has made? And it's like, what are you doing? You think you're fucking perfect? Also, this kid doesn't give a fuck. This kid's not playing Mario Kart like, I'm going to be the princess. Wait, what are her pronouns again? Kids don't give a fuck. Kids give a fuck because you make them give a fuck. So don't do that. It's a pretty easy formula. I'm not even a dad. I'm an uncle. But yeah, so the Italy pizza was great. And we had a blast. And that kid pooped his pants. Whatever. Shit happens. Literally. It happened. And, Uno. Again, that was my point. We're playing Uno. We all have our different set of rules and came up with a different approach to the game. And my wife put down a draw two. And I drew two. And then I go, okay, now I get to play it. She goes, no, you don't. And then I go, if I draw, then I get to play. And she's like, that's not how I played it. I was like, oh. And then she goes, I actually think you lose your turn. And then I was like, do you want me just to fly the fuck back to LA? What is this game we're playing? And we started laughing, and then we puked in our mouth because that guy was right in front of us. And that was a wrap on that night. Did a boat day. Highly recommend if you go to Capri, get on a boat, get in the ocean. My wife's terrified of the ocean. She thinks there's sharks everywhere. She thinks there's sharks in the shower. A novel by Judy Blume. Sharks in the shower. There are no sharks in the Mediterranean, apparently, the Atlantic, where we were. But how do you know? How do you know for sure, man? There was some video that I watched, unfortunately, like 15 times, of a kid in Bangkok who was like a lion tamer, and these lions, the guy got out of the car, and the lions, like he is supposed to know these lions. It's Mufasa and Simba and the rest of the fucking Lion King squad, and they just, dude, the Mufasa threw him to the ground, dude, and then they all ate him. Oh God. And the why there's video of it is beyond me. That means one of his buddies just taped that shit. But I guess that's what guys do. Guys laugh at other guys' pain. That's why America's Funniest Home Videos is a thing, Dad's filming his kid. Kid gets hit in the dick. Dad keeps filming. Sends into Alfonso Ribeiro. He's like, can I get 20 grand for this? He's like, you fucking pervert. Why don't you help your kid? But the boat was great. Got in the water. Big deal for my wife. To get in the water, to swim, to enjoy it. Awesome. So shout out to Italy for doing things right. You're a great host. Americans come over there looking to spend, looking to hang, looking to play. and we did all the above. So back to the grind. Big tour this fall. I'm finishing up my comedy club tour. Indy was great. Coming up next, we got Milwaukee, September 26th to the 28th at the Improv. Still a handful of tickets left for that. Shows that are getting real close to selling out. The Funny Bone in Cincinnati, October 8th and 9th. Kansas City Funny Bone, October 10th and 11th. Omaha Funny Bone, October 15th and 16th. Baltimore, Magoobies, October 21st to the 23rd. Charlotte, North Carolina, Comedy Zone, October 24th to the 26th. And then I got Fort Worth, the Hyenas Comedy Club, November, I think, 8th and 9th. And then 14th through the 16th in Houston at the Improv, first time there. And then we got Spokane, San Antonio. And then, of course, the big theater, Dr. Phil Live at the Wiltern here in L.A., December 16th. And December 19th, my first theater show in Seattle at the Moore Theater, Classic Theater. All these tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. September 23rd is a big announcement for my first theater tour that will be happening next January through April. That will be announced September 23rd, a bunch of new theaters, a bunch of new venues, new cities. So I cannot wait. So subscribe to the podcast at Aylin Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AdamRayComedy. All the new Dr. Phil's drop there every Thursday, as well as best ofs for my stand-up weekends and Bruce Robbins. We're going to do a few more of those, maybe some more Jeremy shows. Filming a Jeremy pilot coming up here soon with some cool people that I can't really talk about, but hopefully that turns into a show. That's kind of the next move, and then maybe some other. There's some other things. Yeah, you just got to keep doing. Just keep doing this. Just keep fucking throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks. I'll tell you what I'm not doing though. Drinking any more of that fucking Jesus diet cum or whatever that was. All right, AdamRayComedy.com for tickets. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing. Enjoy the weekend. Be good to yourselves. Get out, everybody.